This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Robert Harrison, and welcome to Coaching by the Life Coach. Today, we're going to be talking with your original host, Jason McClain, who's coming to us today from CoachingTheLifeCoach.com. And Jason today is going to talk about the six mistakes coaches and practitioners make and their solutions.
First of all, a lack of integral thinking, I call it, or a lack of integrating your spirituality and your finances. In other words, most people think that they're in conflict, and really they're not. That's thinking that's at least 300 years old or became passé at least 300 years ago. And it's true that 1,000 years ago, you had to rob, steal, inherit, or exploit to make money. One of the things about an entrepreneur is you got to be able to throw yourself out there. Yeah. You might get run over a few times, but you got to pick yourself up, brush yourself off, and you got to keep going.
Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Robert. I appreciate being here.
Excellent. So, Jason, tell us, what are the six most common mistakes that practitioners make in really building their business and taking it to the next level?
Yeah, well, some of these are nuts and bolts, and some of them are philosophical and thinking mistakes. So I'm going to start with, you know, the most philosophical and therefore esoteric, and we're going to move into the nuts and bolts. And so I'd just like to say the first three is, first of all, a lack of integral thinking, I call it, or a lack of integrating your spirituality in your finances. In other words, most people think that they're in conflict, and really they're not. That's thinking that's at least 300 years old or became passé at least 300 years ago. And it's true that 1,000 years ago, you had to rob, steal, inherit, or exploit to make money. But that's not the case anymore. And the funny thing is that the word capitalism was actually coined by Marx, one of the greatest enemies.
Really?
One of the greatest enemies of the free enterprise system. The word capitalism didn't exist until Marx began his writings, and he created that term. And the truth is, you can do good today and do well as long as you still don't have that separation in your thinking between earning money and living a purpose-filled life. Now, a lot of people think that you've got to, you know, work in a nonprofit to do good, or an NGO, or, you know, heaven forbid, not sure many people think this anymore, but you do good by working in the government, being a, quote, civil servant. But really, we can do a lot more, and we have a lot more flexibility, and we can become a lot more wealthy by integrating our spiritual life, that is our spiritual purpose, along with our financial life. So the first error, and one of the top mistakes that coaches make, is thinking that their financial life and their spiritual life needs to be separate. What this does is it creates a division within them that has them feel guilty if they charge money, that has them not be clear about the value they're creating in people's lives, and fundamentally has them live disintegrated lives. And so their profession isn't integrated.
So what you're saying, Jason, then, is that most people who kind of go into the business, particularly the helping business, because they're going into it for the reason that they want to help people.
That's right.
Is that their concern is that, gee, you know, it's like if I make it about the money or make it about building the business, I'm not making it about them. And what you're saying is to integrate both. And how would you do that?
Well, first of all, I'm not saying, you know, go ahead and make it about the money, because, you know, I think it is about the money, but the money's secondary. And so really what you need to do is you need to come from a grounding of service and contribution. And when you come from a grounding or a base of service and contribution, that is, you're serving the other person's outcomes, then you can charge whatever you like in terms of the value perception, as long as you learn how to sell and market. And so really what's important is that people come from service and contribution first. That's how you integrate that. And then, you know, the rest is logistics, skills, learning, and, you know, other nuts and bolts stuff. But if you, when I teach sales trainings, I actually have them sign an agreement that they won't use the skills except in service of another's outcomes.
So how do you see them actually getting in conflict? Can you just talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. Well, some of the evidence is guilt. Some of the evidence is shame. Some of the evidence is an inability to actually charge what it's worth. You know, I can't tell you, virtually every solopreneur I met, whether it's a dance instructor or a coach, I look at their business and the first thing I say is, well, you need to increase your rates by 30 or 40%. And they normally are shocked. They have all these limiting beliefs about what they can charge. But the bottom line is you can charge anything you want if the value is being created in the perception of the prospect or client. Yes. Now, it has to be something that you feel comfortable with. But that's how it shows up. The conflict is usually in guilt or in, you know, in thinking that money's bad or that capitalism is bad or thinking that you have to be a starving artist to do well in the world. That's just not true anymore. Yeah.
Now, do you think that some of it, like, here's something I'm curious about, Jason, because I really agree with the point you're making. I think a lot of people do undercharge. Unfortunately, one of the other things that I see some coaches and solopreneurs get into is what I call overextension, where they're literally, like, part of the guilt, I think part of the conflict that's coming up is they're trying to make promises they can't keep. An example is someone who has not been able to hold down a relationship for a decade, more than 6 months, who's been engaged and broken up 5 or 6 times and is pursuing being a relationship coach. You and I have both seen examples like this. So how do you make that distinction?
Well, that's one of the mistakes I think that people make, first of all. So that's one of the top 6 mistakes. That's number 5 on my list.
Oh, is it?
I'd like to get to that. Yeah. But I call it the whole, like, you know, let me solve the problem that I haven't solved yet. Like this, you know, I'm overweight. Oh, gee, look at all these overweight clients I'm getting to solve these weight problems. Oh, it's, you know, the universe reflecting something. I actually have a policy that I won't work with somebody with something I haven't already mastered myself.
Perfect.
And I think every coach or every therapist should do that. The whole, like, well, you know, I'm a relationship, like, just like you said, it's like, well, you know, I haven't had a relationship, but, oh, it's the universe reflecting back to me that that's what I need to work on. No, thank you. I actually consider that, and I hesitate to use this word, it's unethical. It's unethical. To try and solve problems for people that you haven't solved in your own life, no, sir.
Awesome. No, sir. Awesome. So what's the next mistake?
The next mistake is a lack of skill. And the way I like to talk about this at first, because it challenges people the most, to say, if you haven't learned that you're a salesperson first, then you're missing the whole picture on turning your practice into a business. And what I do currently is I teach people how to turn their practice into a 6-figure business. Now, I'm not saying not to, you know, first of all, you have to be competent, of course. You have to be good at what you do. You have to have solved the problem in your own life and solved those problems for other people. Second, though, you have to come from a grounding of service and contribution. Then you need to learn to sell and market, because I'll tell you what, you can be the best person in the world at something, the most effective, and you'll starve to death if you don't learn to sell and market. You'll be struggling forever if you don't learn to sell and market. So you have to learn those sales skills, the ability to enroll people in a vision and leverage them beyond their limitations. And that's the way I label sales. Is enrolling someone in a vision and leveraging them beyond their limitation. You've got to gain those skills.
Wonderful.
So that's, you know, one of the top mistakes that the coaches make is they don't think that they're salespeople. Yeah. And it took me nearly a decade to accept it myself, Robert. Like, this isn't, you know, it's like, oh, sales is a dirty word. It's a 4-letter word. It's, you know, it's horrible. Ooh, the salespeople.
You can always tell who really doesn't have those skills yet in their quiver, because those are the people who are inevitably struggling to get by, struggling to make money. And here's the thing that I like to tell people is that one of the downsides to not really allowing yourself to develop your sales and marketing skills is you're not really helping the people that you're meant to serve. You can't help them if they don't know about you. You can't help them if they can't make a decision to work with you.
That's exactly right.
And you can't help them if they don't feel confident that you can do what it is you say you can do. It's not enough that you know that you can do what you can do. The question is, do they get it in a way that they understand?
That's exactly right. And so the only way you can really do good in the world is to learn to sell and market. Then you can do good in the world on a grand scale, Robert, on a grand scale.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, so what's next? I'm interested. And by the way, actually, before we get to what's next, because we're going to have to take a break here in just a minute. What I'd like to know is
this. In fact, that's the break signal.
Yeah, that's the break signal right now. Okay. So we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Coach and Life Coach. This is Robert Harrison with Jason McClain. It's been a pleasure to turn the tables on you as the host and have you as the guest. Oh, yes. The questions will be mine. So our goal, everyone, is to extract as much valuable information as possible for your benefit. So we'll be right back with Coach and the Life Coach.
Listen to Evolutionary Sales, integrating 21st century psychology with ethical sales techniques. A daily audio program to make your explosive success not just possible, but predictable on personallifemedia.com.
All right, everyone, this is Robert Harrison. We're back with Coaching by the Life Coach. We're talking here today with Jason McClain on the 6 common mistakes that coaches and practitioners make and the solutions to them. Now, just before the break, Jason, we were talking about one of the most common, and I really think this is one of the most common things, I think you're right on with this, is people, you know, that want to be in the helping business. So they're in it because they want to make the world a better place, but they're not allowing themselves, or for some reason they just lack the skills to really be a good salesman and a good marketer, which is essential. Now, once you've identified this as a weakness with a person, which as we have already talked about, you can look at their bottom line and know instantly.
Right.
What is one of the first things that you would recommend a person do to correct that?
Buy my evolutionary sales system. You didn't expect that answer.
And why am I not surprised? You've just learned a lesson of shameless self-promotion, folks.
Well, you know, if people don't know about it, you know, how can they buy it and improve their lives and make six-figure practices?
That's true. you have to be willing to put yourself out there. Isn't that true?
You do. And, you know, and shamelessly and unabashedly, and, you know, I can't tell you how many people have said, wow, you know, McClain, you just put yourself out there over and over. And how do you do that? And I go, well, you know, one of the things about an entrepreneur is you got to be able to throw yourself out there.
Yeah.
You might get run over a few times, but you got to pick yourself up, brush yourself off, and you got to keep going. Yeah. And, you know, for me, you know, I've worked as a field sales trainer for Tony Robbins. I've worked in the IT industry as a salesperson. I have started 4 different corporations myself in varying fields, one in the medical profession, one in the IT consulting services. So that's the range of it. And I'm doing what I do because I want to do good in the world and I want to help other people. At the same time, you know, I saw a lot of sales systems that were just icky, you know, that it was about technique, not about philosophical grounding from service of contribution and then tools of influence. So, you know, what I would, you know, it's not a joke, you know. Right now, I would really say go to coachingthelifecoach.com and look at the evolutionary sales system. Now, for a very short time, and by the time most people listen to this, it probably won't be available, but you can get that whole system on the Personal Life Media Network because I perfected that system on the sister podcast that I used to do to this one, and it's simply evolutionary sales. So go into iTunes, get it for free. Download it, back it up, share it with as many people as you like. It's not going to be available for free for much longer. It's a really complete sales system. So that's what I would say. And if I may, you know, I think the next big problem, speaking of sales and marketing, is that people only have one stream of prospects. And it's usually referrals. Maybe it's some advertising, but it's usually, you know, kind of word of mouth, referrals. Or maybe they're really out there on the edge and they go to, you know, a networking event once a month or something like that. And, you know,
Which is useless if you don't know what you're networking.
And it's useless if you don't know how to, you know, a lot of people say elevator pitch. And it's kind of this, you know, buzz phrase about how to say what you do. People go, what's an elevator pitch? I say, you better be able to say what you do in between floors on the elevator. That's what an elevator pitch is. It's not that you're going up to the 20th floor and you get some person's ear, you know, all the way up the building. It's between floors. When people ask me what I do, currently I say, I help people build six-figure practices. Boom. That's it. You know, turn your practice into a business is another way to say it. But it's between floors in the elevator. Yeah. So, you know, have multiple streams of prospects. You should be getting up and speaking about what you do at least once a month. I recommend twice, partly just to get good at speaking about what you do. You also get to provide free value, but make sure you turn those events into prospect funnels for yourself. And you just say it in the first 3 minutes. I'm here for two reasons. I'm here to give you some value, but I'm obviously also here to market my business. Does anybody have a problem with that? Of course they won't. And when you do that, you, of course, take their objections away right away. How could they possibly complain about being sold later on when you said in the first 3 minutes that obviously that's what you're there to do? And you've given them 2 hours of free value or an hour of free value, however long it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, the fourth biggest mistake is that people don't have multiple streams of prospects. I have two formalized referral systems. One is a straight up commission system. The other one is that every contract that somebody signs with me, they agree to refer at least two people for a complimentary exploratory session as part of their contract with me. So, you know, I've got at least three ways.
Do you find that everyone does that?
Well, no. What I've found is that if I'm rigorous, now, a lot of times I just have so much business, I don't care. But, you know, there occasionally, you know, if I haven't gotten up and talked for a couple months, you know, I need to tap those referrals. So I call them and say, hey, you know, part of your agreement was blah, blah, blah. And really, I coach them to say as little as possible. You can't explain what I do, really.
Yeah.
The deeper ego work, you know, moving people through stages of egoic development. It's like nobody wakes up thinking they need that. So I coach people to just get their permission to give me their contact information. I don't even have cards anymore. I have like throwaway cards for people to write their information on the back of. I don't really give business cards out though anymore. Because Here's the thing. Clients are scared. They lose your card. They talk themselves out of it. They forget about why they, you know, it's like there's no reason in my world to have business cards except to turn that thing over, to slide it towards them with a pen and ask them for their contact information. And if you really want to be of service, you don't want to just see if they call you. If you really want to be of service, you want to call them and you want to really guide them gently, compassionately, but strongly and rigorously towards making changes in their lives.
You know, you mentioned something about when you're getting up in front and talking in front of a group, it's important to know what you're there for. And the other thing I heard you saying, Jason, in some of your advice so far, has been very clear on your message. Now, I want to give two examples here that I think will really be helpful to the listeners. One is, I went to a networking event, and this woman came up and asked what I did, and I told her about the business. I told her that I help people build their business. And when we started talking about her, she sold like MonaV nutritional liquid. She rehooved horses, believe it or not.
Wow.
And she also was a notary republic.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this example of spreading yourself out thin, where you go to these places, and I know another guy. Another guy called me up for some coaching. He couldn't understand why people weren't really leaving him messages. He would put advertisements in the paper, people would call him up, and he wasn't really getting a business. So when I called up his answer machine, he said, well, thank you for calling so-and-so Stop Smoking Institute, and a PR firm. His message said he was two different things, completely different.
Yeah,
and whenever you do that, you dilute the message, and it kind of makes you look like, you know, what is this person really doing?
That's right, that's right.
So that's one of the things. Now, another thing to note is I recently went to a Project Management Institute workshop with my wife. It was a guy doing the NLP training. You know, I got that NLP training coming up that we're going to do.
Right.
So when we were there, this guy,
It's in February.
It's in February. But this guy was a comedian. And he was a comedian who also taught NLP. And the only thing he really taught NLP was reframing. But he sat up there and did a comedy skit for 2.5 hours. And he never even alluded to the fact that he did anything other than comedy.
Yeah.
He alluded to the fact that he slept in his car. He alluded to the fact that he drank too much. He alluded to the fact that he smoked pot before a performance one time. But he never alluded to the fact that he had any other service to offer. And at best, he sold a book at the end. Now, guess what the title of the workshop was? How to Get People to Buy What You're Selling.
That's hysterical.
I mean, it was just, I didn't get it.
You've got to stay on message. You know, people ask me what I do. I go, Well, that depends. And I asked them some questions, you know. And I've got four different websites.
Yeah.
But I don't have four websites listed on my card, of course. And I have a, you know, a different... I do buy cards, but they're, you know, they're free cards because mostly I just turn them over and slide them to people to get their information. But I've got four different branded business cards because you don't want to have all that stuff on there. You can do lots of different things, but for God's sakes, don't talk about how many different things you do, because first of all, the message is that you're probably not good at any one of them.
Yeah.
And the other message is that you're not really sure what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
And... you know, some of these I just have a certain focus on. Maybe, you know, but I might have a website that's just for one audio product or just for, you know, one particular niche within the same business. But it's very good advice, Robert. You can, you know, certainly on your outgoing message. My goodness.
Needless to say, I called him back and I said, well, I think I've discovered one of the major flaws in your business model.
Unless you want your horse to stop smoking so that it can stamp its hoof on the notarized document, right?
And
would
then
that combine all
the
three
juice.
Of things? Which, right, by, by the grape juice, right? Celebrate with grape juice after you sign the document, right?
Exactly. Madness. Madness. And here's what, you know, I think a great litmus test is this. Look at yourself in the mirror. Give your... infomercial or your elevator speech or whatever it is, tell yourself what you do in your mirror. And if you don't believe yourself, and be honest, people, if you don't believe yourself, why in the world would anyone else believe you? Be
That's
honest.
Right. That's right.
So what's the next mistake people make, Jason?
Well, you know, the biggest one, and this is a little bit more nuts and bolts, is that they give away free consultations, but they really give away free sessions. It's like people get to taste their work.
Yeah.
Now, Robert, I haven't given a free session away for 3 years, but I always give a complimentary exploratory session, which is 90 minutes at no cost to people, and they come in, and I talk to them about what they want, and then I explain what it is that I do and how I would approach that, and then at the end of that, we make a decision as to whether or not to work together after they review an agreement. I also tell them three times that that's how it's going to go. We chat on the phone, I make sure that they want something that I can help them in achieving. Then I let them know that there's a complimentary exploratory session, and the structure of it is that I'm going to ask them what they want in greater detail, I'm going to explain what I do, and then we're going to review an agreement if it seems like a fit for us both, and then we'll move forward. I say the same thing in writing to them so that they are ready that that's the structure of it. There's only been one time in the last 3 years that I've actually let somebody sample what it's like to work with me. And that's because the woman had told me she wanted to work with me, but she had been screwed over so many times by so many incompetent coaches that she'd spent tens of thousands of dollars on people who she said were basically charlatans. And my heart really went out to her, and I, you know, we worked together for nearly 3 hours. And at the end of that, with tears in her eyes, she signed an agreement, and, you know, and she's one of my greatest clients. We worked together for 8 months, and then she went into my, I did an NLP practitioner training a few years ago. I probably will never do that again. I'm glad you're doing it. I'll probably never do that again. It's a labor of love, really.
Yes.
But for her, you know, she needed that, and I wanted to make a difference in her life, and I knew that I could help her get what she finally wanted, and she'd been screwed over so many times. But otherwise, people need to look at, it's not a free consultation, it's not a free coaching session, it's not, hey, let me sample your work. It's, let's talk about what you want. If I can assist you in that, I'll explain how we'll go about it, and then we'll sign an agreement or not. And I don't care if people sign or not. I mean, I do for them, but I don't care. What I care about is that they make a choice.
Yeah.
And that choice could be yes or no. And, you know, that's the second, you know, that's the second mistake under this particular subset that people make, coaches make, is, well, you know, someone goes, well, I want to think about it. You know, that never works. And here's why it doesn't work. It doesn't work because people go away, they get unclear on what you presented. They talk themselves out of it. They start, rather than looking at the value it would create in their lives, what it would open up in their lives if they did the work and if they achieved what they wanted, they start looking at how many groceries they could buy with that money. Or they start thinking about how many car payments it is. You know, like I've had people go, wow, you're more than a Mercedes payment a month. You know, I say, yeah, but, you know, first of all, it's only for 7 months for payments. You know, but the truth is, how much more will it make possible in your life? And measured against that, it's insignificant, of course. The money is, I'm actually not that expensive. And It's your duty, again, if you're coming from service and contribution, it's your duty to leverage them beyond your their limitations. And I just tell them that.
Yeah.
I've actually asked, you know, I'm being interviewed on Blog Tech Radio soon for authenticity in business and sales. And he goes, you know, how do you be more transparent? I said, well, I tell them it's my job to influence them.
Yeah.
And I ask him, believe it or not, I say, how heavily do you want me to influence you here? Yeah. Is this the thing that's been stopping you every once in your life? And often they say, yes. And I go, great. And how heavily, on a scale of 1 to 10, how heavily do you want me to influence you here?
Good. Now, let me ask you a question, Jason, because this idea of the free screening or the free consultation.
Yeah.
Okay. Is critical. And let you know, we are crystal clear as practitioners, as successful practitioners.
That's right.
The point of that consultation is to help them make a decision and a commitment, as Richard Berman would say.
That's right. Okay? A commitment to their lives.
So is this one of the things that you really walk people through in the apprenticeship program? And here's why I ask, because I have seen as a coach, okay, we've coached on Practice Fix, we got a couple hundred hypnotists we're working with all around the world. And, that is one of the number one places that people blow it is in the free consultation. They either try to do therapy or they try to do too much work, but
right.
they miss the point of the free consultation. It's critical. So is that something you really will walk a person through in that apprenticeship and really make sure they get up and running on?
Yeah, not only how to create, not only, and we haven't actually talked about the apprentice program, but thanks for reminding me. Not only how to create those sessions, but how to make sure that you responsibly and ethically guide a prospect into it and through it.
Yeah.
Because I'm really big on making sure it's ethical, it's clear, it's upfront. The reason people are so comfortable signing agreements with me, and you know, I've got 100%, I call it opening relationships, not closing deals. I got 100% opening ratio in the last 18 months, 20 months, something like that, because they know what to expect. And I don't let people come into my office that I'm not convinced I can help them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's critical that you not only set the structure up, but also that you guide the client respectfully, but clearly and rigorously through what you expect. You set their expectations appropriately, and you set context so they know what's happening. And I don't even call it a free consultation. It's a complimentary exploratory session, partly because we get away from that whole the meme out there about, oh, a free session or a free consultation or,
yeah,
you know, a free initial coaching session. It's like, I don't do that. I'm not even sure we should work together yet. So it's a complimentary exploratory session to see if we're appropriate. And we make a decision at the end.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent. All right. So before we wrap up here, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Quickly, here's what I want to discuss. Okay. We got about 3 minutes here. Tell me quickly about the apprentice program, how people can get in it, and the extraordinary, amazingly generous discount you're going to offer people as a result of being on this show for mentioning Coaching by the Life Coach. Now remember, Jason's website is coachingthelifecoach.com. This show is now called Coaching by the Life Coach, partly because of the website.
What do you mean?
Talk to the owners of Personal Life Media for that one.
I think I came up with the name of the show, actually, so I bought the domain right away.
Yes.
Although, it is sometimes better to apologize and ask permission. The Apprentice Program is a 16-week, we're actually still working out some of the structures. I've been told that quite a few people who've already signed up would like a 3-week break in the middle, but it's 16 one-hour teleseminars with me and a once-monthly mastermind meeting in person in my San Francisco office, or by video conference if you're not available geographically. The promise, there's a money-back guarantee, first of all. The promise is that if you don't think it's just an insane amount of value, by 2 months after the completion of the program, then you can have all your money back. You get access to a presentation skills audio set. You get access to how to set goals and use your future timeline, another audio set. You get access to Evolutionary Sales audio set, which is something like 20 modules. It's all the tools you could possibly need to build your practice. I'm going to give you all of my templates, my documents, my contracts, my interest sheets, my feedback forms. I'm going to teach you how to deploy a website, a very professional looking website for under $200. We're going to talk about blogging. We're going to talk about podcasting. basically teach people everything that they need to go from discovering their purpose to making sure that they have formalized referral systems. And the promise, of course, is to turn your practice into a six-figure business. Now, that's not the money-back guarantee. The money-back guarantee is if you don't feel that it was worth far more than you paid, then you get your money back. And it's no questions asked on the money-back guarantee. Now, I'll ask you lots of questions before you sign up, though. Even though there's a buy now button on the website, I actually don't want that. I don't want you to, in fact, we're taking that down because I want to talk to people before they, because I've had a couple of people give me money just because they wanted to secure a spot. And that really isn't working. So I want to make sure that everybody there is really committed to turning their practice into a business. And I want to make sure the program's right for them. I mean, the truth is nobody's happy if the program's not right for them. What's the deal for the listeners? The deal for the listeners is 20% off. 20% off of the program, regardless of the current price on the website, for listeners of this program. Go to coachingthelifecoach.com. Make sure when you contact me that you say Robert Harrison and Coaching by the Life Coach referred you to the program, and we'll make sure that you get 20% off. And again, the audio products alone are worth more than the cost of the program itself. So it's just an insane deal. It's going to be twice the price for version 2. So, you know, why is it so cheap? Well, part of it is it's a pilot program. However, I have mastered building a six-figure practice. I can essentially turn the faucet on and turn it off. If I'm asleep at the wheel, I make $7,000-$8,000 a month, Robert. If I'm actually doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I make about, you know, $12,000. And that's when my body starts to go, ugh! You know, because there's only so much you can do working one-on-one with clients. We're not going to get into building audio products in this program. That'll be a more graduate program. But how to build a six-figure practice, and they get everything they need, a full suite of supporting products, and you know me and my brain.
Wonderful. Well, Jason, thanks. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. It's an honor to interview the original host of the show, and I look forward to doing it justice over the next year. And I also look forward to Shanghaiing you out of San Francisco and dragging you down here to Mid Peninsula to do several more interviews over the course of the year. And for transcripts of this show, just go to personallifemedia.com under Coaching by the Life Coach. And remember, if you want to be a guest on the show and get live coaching on the show, go to the blog or email robert@personallifemedia.com, and we will get you on the show. I look forward to seeing you all soon. Jason, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much, Robert. I know they're in good hands. I love the direction you're taking the show in, and the listeners are very lucky to have you.
Excellent. Goodbye, everyone. And remember, whenever you think about your business, just hear this.
That was easy.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.